The readings for the 21st Sunday after Pentecost are Jeremiah chapter 21, verses 1 and then 4 through 7, and the Gospel of Luke chapter 17, verses 11 through 19. Grace to you and peace from God our Creator and Christ our wisdom. Amen. Exile is no picnic, to put it mildly. Exile is usually defined as the state of being barred from one's native country, typically for political or punitive reasons. No one wants to go into exile. Yes, exile can be self-imposed. It can be a willing choice in the face of unwanted consequences. But it's safe to say that being exiled is not a choice most people would make. The prophet Jeremiah was writing to the people of Israel who had been exiled to Babylon. This was such a traumatic time that it became one of the defining points in their history. And many of the stories in the Old Testament can be understood only in light of the exile. But we don't have to look all the way back to 600 BCE to find examples. In 1959, for instance, the Dalai Lama had to flee from his home in Tibet to India after a Tibetan uprising was severely repressed by China. In 2013, Edward Snowden, who leaked classified information from the National Security Agency, was charged with violating the Espionage Act of 1917 and with theft of government property, and he now lives in exile in Russia. Our own recent Lutheran history includes the formation of Seminex, the seminary in exile, in 1974. And you might say that First United's own history of expulsion was a case of being sent into exile. These are cases of political or punitive reasons. But the traditional definition is not the only way to think about or to experience exile. And it's more common in experience than you might think. Remy Dietrich, who's the author of a book called Out of Exile, identifies 7 types of exile. See if you can relate to any of these. There's emotional exile, depression, PTSD, anxiety disorder, panic attacks, any other kind of mental disorder. There's spiritual exile, a bad church experience, or just feeling disconnected from God. Relational exile, a bad marriage or relationship, a divorce, an estrangement from children or parents or a friend, the death of a loved one. Financial exile, being overwhelmed by debt, loss of a job. Career exile, a bad fit or a dead-end job. Health exile, chronic pain, terminal disease, the inability to have children, any other medical kinds of concerns. Season of life exile, in between college and career, retirement, managing old age. I don't know about you, but I can identify with at least 5 of them from various times in my life. These exile times rip us away from life as we've known it. And we become strangers in a strange land, far from home, whether it's physically, emotionally, or spiritually. And it's not a pleasant place to be. The story in the gospel of the person with leprosy is a fine example of this. In Jesus' time, contracting an infectious, wasting disease like leprosy meant banishment into exile, away from family, away from friends, work, community, to live only among fellow sufferers. What I find intriguing about this story is that the one who returns to thank Jesus for his healing is a Samaritan. That means the leper colony must have been an interfaith community, or at least an intra-faith one. Under normal circumstances, Jews and Samaritans would not hang out with one another. Even though they shared a common religious heritage, they had disagreements about some of the finer points of belief and practice. But in their exile, those differences must not have been the barriers that they were in their former lives. Isn't it ironic that loss can bring down the walls that divide us, and we're able to come together in our times of grief and loss? I wonder what life would be for those 10 who were healed. Would they continue to be companions, or would they revert to their old prejudices and condemnations? I like to believe that they would retain their companionship, because exile changes you. When you come back home, you're different. The people of Israel found that out when they were released from captivity in Babylon. Homecoming was sweet, but things were different. They were different. Exile had left its indelible mark on them, as it does to us all. Like the last verse of the reading from Margie's memorial. And you learn that you can really endure, that you really are strong, and you really do have worth. And you learn. And you learn with every failure, you learn. But the big question still remains. What do we do when we find ourselves in exile? Well, one of the simplest things to do is to name it. Point to whatever is causing you distress and call it what it is. The thing about exile is you can't ignore it. I can be pretty left brain and try to rationalize myself out of feeling whatever I don't want to feel. But I've learned that that doesn't work. And letting grief or sadness or depression go unnamed creates more problems. Health, relationship, work, any number of things. The autobiography of Bruce Springsteen came out just last month, and one of the most publicized things about it has been his lifelong battle with depression. And hopefully his naming of his struggle will encourage others to name theirs. Another important lesson for living in exile is to grieve. To acknowledge the impact of loss on your life and give yourself permission to express your emotions about it. Now, this can get tricky because oftentimes those around us want us to get over it, to move on, or at least put on a happy face, or they rationalize it. I was reminded of the song Anna Tefka from A Fiddler on the Roof. By the character's own admission, their village was nothing much, and they sang, "Someone should have set a match to this place years ago. People who pass through Anna Tefka don't even know they've been here. What do we leave? Nothing much, only Anna Tefka, underfed, overworked Anna Tefka." And yet, they go on to sing, "Where else could Sabbath be so sweet? Soon I'll be a stranger in a strange new place, searching for an old familiar face from Anna Tefka." There's just no rationalizing away grief. And this is the third lesson, that we should not grieve alone. Exile should not be a solitary place. Not that we have to constantly be with others or share our story with each and every person we meet, but the support of another or others or of a community is so important. In Bruce's autobiography and in interviews, he talks about how important it was to have his wife be supportive of him as one of the few people who knew about his struggle until now. In this past year of our own grieving the loss of Margie and of being with Steve in his exile of grief, I've often thought about how grateful I am for a congregation that can provide that kind of accompaniment. And because we are a community of faith, we can also find hope in the midst of loss. In the book of Lamentations, Jeremiah wrote that even though Jerusalem had been destroyed, God was still faithful. In our reading today, Jeremiah brought God's word that they should make their home in that foreign land. Now, we may not choose to be in the place we find ourselves, but we can make ourselves at home and find comfort in the fact that God is with us and will speak to us in the midst of our darkness for however long we must remain there. And we do expect to return home. Not to the exact place we were before, but we will return to feeling at home again. Although there is no timetable for our sojourn in exile. But as the prophets of Israel promise return to those ancient exiles, so they speak to us. Comfort, O comfort my people, says our God. A voice cries out, clear a path through the wilderness for Yahweh. Make a straight road through the desert for our God, who will feed the flock like a shepherd, gathering up the lambs and gently leading the mother sheep. Do not be afraid, says Yahweh, for I have redeemed you. I have called you by name. You are mine. When you pass through the waters, I will be with you, and through the rivers, they will not overwhelm you. When you walk through the fire, you will not be burned, and the flame will not consume you. Comfort, oh, comfort my people, says our God. This is our promise too. And finally, as incongruous as it sounds, we set our intention on being grateful. The tenth leper, expressed his gratitude for his homecoming, his return from the exile of disease and disconnect. But hopefully he continued to remember his deliverance and so could be grateful even in the next time of exile. As the prophet Habakkuk wrote, even though the fig tree has no buds, and the vines bear no harvest, and the olive oil yield fails, and the fields produce no food, though the sheep vanish from the fold, and there are no cattle in the stalls, yet I will rejoice in Yahweh. I will exult in the God of my salvation. Today, we are grateful for Margie Jang. Although the exile created by her death continues, especially for Steve, still we give thanks. Thanks for all the gifts that she brought to this world, for the memories we hold dear, for the homecoming she has now entered, and for the spirit of love which surrounds her. It's the same spirit that surrounds us too. In both our exiles, and in our homecomings, and is our greatest reason for gratitude. Amen.